It has always been one of the most popular hours of the lectureship. Brother Guyon Woods has done a great job through the years. He's been on some hot spots. This is an open forum, and you don't find many of them in our brotherhood. Just remember, while you're here and can say what you want to say, you don't have that opportunity every place in the world to do it. We appreciate Brother Guy Woods. He's done a tremendous job this year, as he has every year in the past. I'm happy that our elders have him booked here for a gospel meeting in October of this year. But now, the time belongs to Brother Guyon Woods.
Thank you, Brother Bradfield. And may I take just a moment here in the outset to again express my appreciation to the administration, the faculty of this institution, for the opportunity to be here this year to share with you in these marvelous days. I am exceedingly grateful to Brother and Sister Bradfield for their hospitality once again. I think, with one exception, for many, many years, it's been my great pleasure to be with them. I esteem Brother Bradfield as highly as I do any man living. I think there's not anyone that's made greater contribution to the cause of Christ in his day than he. Brother Bradfield not only preaches widely and works industriously in behalf of the school here, but he's also the author of many, many tracts, which I consider to be the best brief tracts available. Some of them, The Way to Heaven, The Divine Challenge, The Christian Life, The New Testament Church, Which Church Did Christ Build, What is the Church of Christ, The Work of the Holy Spirit, and many, many others. This morning at breakfast, at his house, Brother Earl West was there. Brother West remembered an incident that happened when he was in school here, teaching here. He would come by up in the morning and go with Brother Bradfield for coffee. And on this particular morning, Brother Bradfield was especially exuberant. Everything was unusually good. He just got his mail, and he said that the law of Moses was outdoing the plan of salvation. By which he meant that the tract was outselling the other. So, we all appreciate Brother Bradfield. Another thing that has impressed me a great deal while I've been on this campus this week is the obvious devotion to truth characteristic of every speaker. On fundamental matters, I haven't heard a sentiment expressed that was not, in my view, in complete harmony with the Word of God and dedicated to that which has characterized this institution from its beginning. It is the glory and the joy of Freed Hardeman College that it stands for the truth and that it has through the years, and it will continue to be respected and supported as long as it thus does. When it ceases so to do, then it will not merit and it will not receive such support, at least from those who love the truth and who are devoted to the cause of Christ. It's far, far too late for our brethren to start restudying our position here on this campus. I might point out to you that on the fundamental matters of faith, that these matters were acceptable and accepted by some of us a long, long time ago on what we regard as sufficient grounds. And we're not about to support or tolerate anybody, be he teacher, preacher, whatever may be his position, that's not in harmony with the best traditions of this institution. At least these are my sentiments, and I trust yours also. Now, we have a matter here that I think it's proper to introduce in the very outset. Monday, at the open forum, the question was raised concerning things advocated at a recent Dallas seminar by the Campus Evangelism Group. I have here this statement from one who signs himself Charles A. Shelton, the man who worked with the Campus Evangelism Program of the Broadway Church of Christ in Lubbock or present. Would you allow one of them to respond to the objections voiced against the program in Tuesday's forum? Well, as Brother Bradfield indicated, this is exactly what its name indicates, a forum, an open forum. And certainly, we'll allow anyone, including these brethren, as we did the other day, without any restraint, and I might say, the report that we refused to let one or more speak the other day is positively and palpably false, as everybody who's here knows. Amen. Is that right, brethren?
Amen. Amen.
then, of course, we will allow it. But now here, we will limit the discussion to the matters involved in that discussion, because that's the manner in which we've been conducting it. It's then in order for us to point out exactly what happened, what the points were. May I suggest to you, as you will recall, that I did not introduce the matter, that it was presented in the form of a statement, as all of these many dozens of questions and statements have been. And it reads, and I shall read it in its entirety. And on each one of these points, we shall expect whoever it is that chooses to make some statement regarding it, to deal with these matters, these alone, because that's the issue at this present time. Brother Woods, this is not a question, but I would appreciate some comment. During the Christmas holidays, 1968, young people from all over the country were invited to Dallas, Texas for a campaign called College Evangelism. Some of my family attended. Now I'm reading a statement introduced here and handed to me, and we're not averse at all and shall be glad to tell you who it is if you wish to know, that is, who presented this. Some of my family attended and made notes on the lectures. Others of our area attended and reported the same things. Here are some of the things that were taught. Now I'd like to interpose just here this additional statement from the brother. He said, may I make this further explanation? Many of the statements were made in the classes and also in the different group meetings in the motel rooms. The brother says, I understand that some question the accuracy of the statements that were made, and we would like to have them further discussed in today's forum. Now, here are some of the statements. There are additional ones that we'll be glad to introduce later if necessary. The Church of Christ is a denomination. It has a name. There are many groups meeting and worshiping God through Christ who do not call themselves the Church of Christ. The Holy Spirit operates apart from and independent of the Word of Truth. Anyone who does not believe in miracles is nothing but a rank materialist. Those who teach that the sinner must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized were called five-steppers. The statement was made, I have no trouble harmonizing the science of evolution and the Bible. A well-known gospel preacher introduced the group, I'm still reading, mind you, a well-known gospel preacher introduced a group responsible for entertainment by saying, and now this is a quote within the quotation, these young people have meant much to me. I have known them for a long time and think they have a message for you. End of this quotation, end the quotation. Now, here's the further explanation of the person who handed in this statement. It turned out to be a hippie rock and roll band. Among other things said, the drummer made this statement, quote, this is the biggest bunch of Jesus freaks I ever saw in one place, unquote. Now, that's the statement that we introduced the other day, and I might make it clear that I was not there, and I was merely reading what is here presented. Now, we are certainly open for any discussion of this and for additional matters that we are prepared to produce should it be necessary. All right, who wishes to make a statement?
Brother Wood, I'm Charles Shelton.
Yes, Brother Shelton.
Broadway Church of Christ in Lubbock, Texas. Jim Beavis and Rex Vermillion and I are here. When we heard that certain charges, which you've just read, were made, in the interest of truth and fairness, we wanted to come and have an opportunity to make a statement. I wonder if I might come to the microphone.
We want to make it clear that we want your answer to these points. This is not the time nor the place for a speech on campus evangelism. If you are willing to restrict your remarks to these matters introduced, we'll be delighted to have you come.
Yes, sir.
Come right ahead, sir.
I'll try to be brief.
You'll have to be because we're limited.
Well, we have heard the tape of the discussion on Tuesday afternoon, I believe it was, and we are aware of all of the discussion that went on. We would like to say that we resent a bit being judged and condemned on the basis of secondhand information. And this is why we have gone to the expense and trouble of coming so that we could give you the correct information. Mind you, we're not objecting to the handling of any issue at this forum or any other place when it's dealt with fairly and in the interest of truth and in the spirit of love. And that's why we're here. We have tapes with us of all of the speeches that were made at the seminar in Dallas that has been referred to, and we would be glad to play any or all of those to anyone who might be interested at some later time. We also have lists of the speakers and teachers on the seminar, which we could give to you if you were interested. We have considered every point that was made in the letter which Brother Wood just read individually, and we have discussed it among ourselves, and we are completely in agreement that the attitudes and positions implied in the letter are untrue, unfair, and unchristian. The positions and attitudes reflected in the letter do not represent the position of the campus evangelism staff. They do not represent the position of the Broadway Church of Christ, its elders and other ministers, or the majority of the participants at the campus evangelism seminar.
May I point out to you, yes, that, sir, you are not doing what you were supposed to do, to take up these points and tell us one by one if such occurred. Now, we are aware of the fact that you can make many general statements here regarding this, but now, just point number one, was it said on that occasion that the Church of Christ is a denomination?
The statement was made in a speech made by Andrew Hairston, if I remember correctly, in which he was pointing out that as the church had dealt with the racial problem, having a black church and a white church, that this was a denominational quality, having two churches, two brotherhoods.
Well, then, must we assume then that it's the view of the campus evangelism movement that in any community where there is a colored church and a white church, that a denominational situation exists?
Not necessarily at all. It would be dependent upon the attitudes of the brethren involved.
Next. There are many groups meeting and worshiping God through Christ who do not call themselves the Church of Christ. Was that statement made?
I don't recall that statement made, although the Bible does give a number of other names that are perfectly scriptural and legitimate to be used by the church.
Well, are there various groups today going under different names who are in the body of Christ?
I don't know of any personally. But there may be people going under the name Church of God who believe and obey the Word of God, as we have tried to do through the years.
Then do you reject the statement that there are many groups meeting and worshiping God through Christ who do not call themselves the Church of Christ? That is not true.
We reject the implications of that statement. Yes, sir.
But you don't deny that it was made on that occasion by one of your speakers?
I don't deny it because I personally didn't hear it, and I heard most of the speeches that were made.
Well, yeah, then you're not in position to say it was not made, are you?
No, sir.
All right. They also taught that the Holy Spirit operates apart from and independent of the Word. Do you accept that view?
No, sir. We believe that the Holy Spirit indwells the Christian according to Romans 8, Ephesians 3, and other passages of Scripture.
We believe
that. But does not work apart from the Word, mm-hmm, but in harmony with the Word. Now, I don't believe that statement was made.
But you can't say that you know that it wasn't, can you?
No, sir, because there were 100 different classes, yeah, and individual groups.
That's our very point. Now, I understand that we're not charging that you are responsible for every statement made. That's not it. The only question is, were these statements made on that occasion? Now, here's the thing about it, Brother Sheldon. If you are not responsible for these statements and they were made, then the next time you ought to see to it that you don't have speakers that make statements.
Well, Brother Wood, we can't be any more responsible for that than the administration of Freed Hardeman College can be responsible for everything that's said in a lectureship.
If you can't, you ought to disband then. You ought not to go around. You ought not to go around over the country carrying speakers under your banner who are teaching false doctrine.
So far as we know, we aren't.
Yes. Well, you know now that you did.
No, sir.
That these statements are true.
Well, that's a gross assumption, Brother Wood. There's no documentation that you can give that this is true, and we brought the tapes that we'll be glad to play in the hearing of anyone.
Every tape that was in every group.
No, just the speeches. But our point is that we are being tried and judged and condemned on hearsay, Brother Wood, and that is unchristian.
We're just as much opposed to that as you are. I personally do not want to charge you with teaching anything. But the point is, if under your banner these things were taught, then you ought to repudiate them and see to it that in the future they're not taught again.
Well, if insofar as it's humanly possible, no error will ever be taught at a campus evangelism seminar.
There was a lot of it on this occasion.
No, sir. You haven't established that any of these things things were said or done.
We'll have some more matters just a little bit later. Let's go on with this. Those who teach that the sinner must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized recall five steppers. Did you hear that statement made?
No, sir. I did not.
But you don't know that it wasn't made on that occasion.
No, sir. I wasn't everywhere in the
building. Well, now that's right. Therefore, since we do have grounds for believing that it was made, then why do you question that it was made?
All you have is the statement of one person.
I have the statement of a gospel preacher who, in whom I have complete confidence. We have the statement here of a brother who was there and heard many of these statements made the other day and said so.
But you know how easy it is. I've seen it done on you that statements that you have made have been lifted out of context and used against you to imply something that you did not mean.
Well, that's the reason we're trying to get at the point as to what was said and done here.
Well, now, would you like me to explain this statement, five steps?
Yes.
All right. I think we've all heard the sermons of five steps to salvation. The statement may have been made in jest, and if it were done so, then it was in bad taste and poor judgment and should not have been made. But there are five steps. There are sermons and lessons that have been preached. Many of you have preached them. I have preached them. I believe in those steps. And if there was something said that was detracting from those, then it should not have been said. It was in poor taste.
Isn't it true, Brother Shelton, that some of the men who are very closely associated with the campus evangelism do believe that the Holy Spirit operates apart from and independent of the Word?
To my knowledge, no, sir. But we don't feel it our position to investigate every man in every position, nor do we endorse every man in every position, just as you wouldn't endorse every man in every position that's been on this lectureship.
Well, no, because I have no control over them. But I certainly wouldn't invite a man to come here if I were in Brother Dixon's place. I wouldn't invite a man to come that I thought would teach something not correct.
We don't knowingly do so either.
Well, what about this statement? I have no trouble harmonizing the science of evolution and the Bible.
To my knowledge, that statement was not made.
Some Christian young people came back and reported that these statements were made. Now, were they liars?
I don't know the context in which the statement might have been made. That's the whole point, Brother Wood.
I don't see how that any context would justify a statement that I have no trouble harmonizing the science of evolution in the Bible.
Well, was he talking about evolution within a species? And that's a whole another can of worms that we don't have time to get into.
You are well aware that we all mean by evolution the evolutionary process in contrast with divine creation as set out in the books of Genesis.
The campus evangelism staff, the Broadway elders, and so far as I know, the participants in the seminar believe in the biblical account of creation.
What about this statement? A well-known gospel preacher introduced a group responsible for entertainment by saying, "These young people have meant much to me. I've known them for a long time and think they have a message for you." Was that statement made?
That statement was made. In the first place, these young men were not hippies. In the second place, they were students in good standing at a sister Christian college. Two of the young men were Bible majors. They feel a burden to communicate to the younger generation a message that there's something better than dope and LSD and sex and all of the other things that young people get tripped up on today, and they do have a message. The only difference, they were clean, they were shod, they had socks on, their hair was combed. Some of them had hair a little longer than
mine.
Some of, than yours. But these were Christian young people, and the lyrics of their songs I don't have with me. I have in my office, and they do try to convey a message of hope and faith in God and in Jesus Christ.
About this LSD business, Brother Dixon, may I have that paper published in Memphis there? Yes. Here is a statement appearing in the Tri-State Christian Observer under the heading Christian Student Center News that has two or three statements made with reference to this particular matter here.
They want you over the mic.
All right, here. Among other things, it said here that President Danny Engel says, quote, "I got a kick out of the Christian hippies whom I met.
I stayed up all Monday night talking with some of them, including one who was majoring in Bible at Abilene Christian College. One hippie had once taken LSD. He said that LSD turns you on and enlightens you, but it's fake. The Holy Spirit turns you on and enlightens you, and it's real. Do you endorse that statement?
I don't know that I need to endorse or deny the statement if that student who relayed that report is a member of the student group over at Memphis State. There is a statement by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:18 where he said that we should not be drunk with, be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And it's the same sort of analogy, although probably in poor taste in the context of our society and the problems we're having with LSD today.
You would gather then that this man here did believe that the Holy Spirit operates in some direct fashion, wouldn't you, in contrasting it with LSD?
Yes, sir, as Paul envisioned the Holy Spirit operating in Ephesians 5:18 or in Romans 8.
Then what about this statement here? A drummer made of this group introduced, quote, "This is the biggest bunch of Jesus freaks I ever saw in one place."
This statement was made in very poor taste. The youngster has repented of that and is very sorry that he made a statement because it was not understood by anyone in the audience over 21, although it may have communicated somewhat to those, to the young people in the audience.
Now then, it simply boils down to a question of veracity and accuracy with reference to whether these statements...
You skipped one.
I beg your pardon?
You skipped one of the statements.
Well, let me see which it is here.
Anyone who does not believe in miracles is nothing but a rank materialist.
Yes, that's right here. Anyone who does not believe in miracles is nothing but a rank materialist.
This statement was made in a class on the subject of prayer, and the teacher of that class was attempting to establish the fact that that God does intervene in the affairs of men today. Otherwise, prayer is a farce. Why pray that we should have a ready recollection, that God would give us a ready recollection if he can't do it, if he can't intervene in our affairs and do it? And this was his definition of a miracle, and he did define it in these terms before this particular statement was made. He was trying to get these young people to place their faith in God and what he has promised to do in our lives in so many places in the New Testament.
Do you agree that one who does not believe in miracles is a rank materialist today?
According to the definition that this speaker gave of a miracle, I agree with it. Yes, sir.
Well, the ordinary dictionary meaning of the word miracle, that's what we're interested in.
Well, of course, as far as these questions are concerned, it was the context in which that statement was made, and that context was a definition of a miracle as being God's intervention in the affairs of men.
Over and above his natural law. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
Then you believe that in miracles today in that sense?
Yes, sir.
And the campus evangelism group teaches that?
Yes, sir.
Give us an example.
Well, the one I just gave, we pray that God will give the preacher a ready recollection of his material. I don't know exactly how God does that, but we've prayed for it, lo, these many years.
Well, we've all done that. But now, that's not what we all mean by a miracle. You know that, and I know that.
But that's what this speaker meant in the context in which that statement
well,
was
Well, I
made.
Ask you if you believe in the ordinary dictionary meaning of the word miracle, if a person who doesn't believe in them today is a rank materialist.
I haven't looked at the dictionary meaning of miracle. I'm just going by the definition that the speaker who made that statement made of a definition
well,
of miracle.
Brother Sheldon, I think you're dodging on that point.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm sticking right with the issue.
Now, I think that since it is a question I think since it's a question of veracity, now we ought to have a statement from the man that handed the question in. So that was Brother B.B. James, gospel preacher. Come up, Brother James.
I certainly don't want to be in the position of opposing campus evangelism because I did not attend, and as Brother Shelton has said, this is secondhand. But at least four of the young people who attended talked to me about it. Now, they were not condemning it, they were endorsing it. They were excited about it. In fact, they thought that it is about the most wonderful thing that they'd ever attended. they had taken, had made many, many notes. These things that I asked about were among the notes that were taken. One of them was a gospel preacher who is to me what Timothy was to Paul. I have the utmost confidence in him. His father had already talked to me about it. He came by Saturday and spent an hour or more discussing these matters, and he was all excited about it, and he thought it was a real good thing. But as we talked, he began to tell me the things that he learned or was taught in classes, and a number of things that were taught in the motel rooms when they had their prayer meetings, I believe they called it. Now, a number of things I didn't write down. I just wanted to get it before the forum so that it could be discussed, pro and con, and the good and the bad be brought out. But one thing that I didn't write about, one of the leaders in this group, the prayer group, I believe they called it, meditation group, but he told the old saw, the old story about the fellow dying and going to heaven, and he was being shown around, a group of Catholics over here, group of Methodists back here, and there was a little group over in the corner, and he said, "Now be real quiet, that's the Church of Christ, and they think they're the only ones up here." Well, to me that implied that one was about as good as another. Then another thing that I didn't put in the comments that I handed to Brother Woods was that all of us are in error. In fact, some of these young people argued the question with me. They had their ammunition. They said, "Why, are you perfect?" And I said, "No, I'm not perfect." Well, he said, they said, "These people are not perfect either. You're a sinner in one way, and they're a sinner in some other way. So after all, we're all sinners. We don't have any right to condemn one group of sinners because we're sinners." Now, I could go on. There are a number of things. But as Brother Shelton said, it is secondhand with me. These young people in whom I have utmost confidence attended. They came back reporting this to me, not to condemn or to criticize, but just telling me what a wonderful thing that it was. How much they got out of it. Face-to-face confrontation, sharing Jesus.